March 29th, 2014, RLRD.
My watch is synchronized with it. Is it about time?
You get 1 minute.
Just in case we have anybody else.
On my computer, it says 9:31.
Ah, I think it'll fast. We expect, you said Joe, you expect. What's that?
Verizon says 9:31.
What was I going to ask about Joe, right? Kind of remember why, other than just reporting on, but there's no executive session.
He talked about possibly.
Talking to us about.
Yes.
Here.
He mentioned like the idea of that. Just to explain how things are going.
Okay.
Because I did contact him by email, had a couple of questions that he said he'd be answering for me.
Okay, good. Well, let me call the meeting to order. This is my first time chairing this, for those of you who may or may not know that. Deb is not able to be with us, but as a result of our November meeting, I had asked for 3 months of a reprieve of sitting around the table with everybody else, and so I'll gladly kind of rotate into the chair now. And so that's why I'm chairing the meeting. Deb will not be with us this morning, but of course David is down south, and Joe Miller will be joining us as time goes on. So having called the meeting to order, let's stand and do the pledge together.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Daryl, before we start, could I make a motion to have you become our chairman of the board at this time?
Dave, that's already taken care of because we made that motion. I believe we made that motion back in November, and it was just a matter of...
We're fulfilling it.
Yeah, we're just... I don't know that we actually said March meeting, but we did say for 3 months. So I think it would be superfluous to have to do that, but thank you for that. I think just let the record show that I was elected to the position with a three-month leeway, and so I'm just simply fulfilling that now. But thanks, I appreciate that. Let's look at the minutes. Does anybody have any issues at all with the previous minutes that were passed around? I'll give just a minute to see if there's anything that you think needs to be corrected. Any? Hearing none, just declare them to be as distributed, and we'll move on to the open action items. My name appears first there, so let me just say I've done nothing further with this digitizing of the book. It hasn't been here. Bill still has the three-ring binder one of these days. Apparently he has made some... copies of that. I don't know, Chad, if you've seen those or not, but he's been in the process of trying to make copies of that binder. So when he's done making copies of what he needs, then we'll move forward to... there seems to be no huge urgency. He has that and is using it in meetings with the BIDCO and other groups. So anyway, it hasn't been available for any digitization going on. So Joe's not here. Let's move. Chad, how about anything there that we need to...
Stephanie?
Yep, okay. Are you here?
Yeah, I'm here. I don't know what happened, actually. Just went out.
Okay.
We're okay right now.
Yeah, the bid for RNK Marina, I gave it to Bill Zabel. Okay, he's in contact. I also talked to RNK Marina, so that's in the process. The Hutton Bay compliances and that kind of stuff, I know we'll talk with Joe about that. All right, a little later today to me.
Okay. David, is there anything we should know about the Environmental Committee?
Yes, what I would like to do is, I don't know, for the Environmental Committee, I know we recommend least testing the water twice a year. We're going to be meeting again in May, but I just, I think that my opinion right now is once the lake is full, I'd like to get a test in at least four different areas of the lake, and then later on in the season, we can decide when we would like to have another test done, if it's okay with the board at this time.
Just asking for our approval for that, or?
Yeah, that's what I'd like to make a motion that once the lake is full, that we get a test so we know where we are. And then later on in the season, you know, we could have another test done. But Bill Harkinrider will be doing, he'll be communicating with the fellow from the lab due to the fact that he has a great background in, you know, in that department.
All right, there's been a motion then to essentially wait till the lake is full, have it tested, and then move beyond that. Is there a second to that motion?
Is that not a committee level decision? Do we allow it or not?
I don't know. Do we allow the environmental committee to make those decisions, or do we want to have sanction of that?
Well, I think we should vote on it because we're spending our funds.
Okay. I'll second it.
Just, all right, been seconded. Any further discussion about that? Just what we're asking? Whether it's the committee's decision or not, we're baptizing it with this vote, David, so you'll know. At least it gives it some sanction if we approve it. All in favor then of that motion, please say aye.
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 Opposed? All right, you have that right to do so.
Okay, thank you.
Debbie's not here, and Deb's not here, and there are, the letters have been written and sent, so nothing more where that's concerned.
You know, I was going to bring this up old business, but maybe you said it. Can I ask a question on these? Just remind me, I guess, clarify one thing, and I have a question about it. So we sent a letter to Percy as the president of the Dock Association, advising him on what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have one to Digman and Denman.
Because they were not in compliance.
Are those two different slips?
Yes.
Okay, so it's not a, those are two different slips that they're not in compliance. Okay, so that's a question that I had. And the only other thing that I'm concerned about is, so what we did is we determined that they have until September 1st to come into compliance.
Mm-hmm.
And if you fail to come to compliance by September 1st, you will be removed from the Ryan Road Right-of-Way Association. You will not have access to the dock until such repairs are done and come in compliance with your septic system. Then what? We never said then what. So they have until, I mean, they have until eternity to just sit there and say, yeah, well, I never got my septic system fixed. But there's a dock sitting there, and all they've been told is they don't have access to that dock.
Well, I talked to, just give you an answer, it help out a little bit. I think I talked to Nora.
The problem is we didn't document what the thing is. It's like a human resources thing.
Okay.
Your behavior isn't correct. You need to fix it. Mm-hmm. If you don't fix it, this could lead to your dismissal.
Well, the association can also, on their own, take them off the dock. I mean, they have, like,
for most what?
For example, they're doing a building project, they're doing construction, and they have a vote. They're making a vote. The members, majority of the members, have decided to redo the dock, which has been in disarray for a couple of years.
Okay.
And talking to Alan Percy for the past year, it's to the point now where I'm just about ready to tape it off because it is in that bad of shape. It should not be used.
Okay.
So as an association, they already took a vote. Majority decided to do a building project.
Okay.
These two people are not compliance. As a dock association, they do have the choice to say, if you are not going to come with us, if you're not going to support them, if you're not going to be in compliance, they can remove them on their own.
Their bylaws say that?
Yes, they can remove them on their own.
But that's a different issue
mm-hmm.
than them getting their septic system.
Yeah, because they're not in compliance.
Say that they said, mm-hmm. yeah, sure, we'll throw in $500,
yeah.
and then they're in the game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they still haven't fixed their septic system. It's our policy that they're not in compliance with.
Yeah.
So all we've said right now is you have until September 1st, and after that you can't use the dock. I believe after a year you lose your rights to be on that dock.
Okay.
That's where we didn't go with it. I mean, are you guys agreeing with that?
Are you saying that that is part of our policy and that's happened before?
Well, they don't keep, they don't keep it.
I wasn't sure if you were just kind of making up that 1 year
thing. No. Okay. I don't know what that policy would be.
Okay.
But certainly they just can't go on forever saying, I haven't fixed my septic system. What are you going to do about it? I haven't gone down to my dock, and when I sell it, I'm going to sell it with that right 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, there's a dock that's available for people to use. If you aren't going to use it, and the other part about that is, I guess that's not. I mean, we have a policy that they have to be within compliance. They have to take care of their dock, or they would lose their rights. So I don't know exactly what that policy is if they're not, if they haven't adhered to our policy of septic or.
Where's the teeth, in other words?
Well, actually, I mean, we do have a little bit. That Dave, that violet over in Parkside?
Yes.
There was a limitation on her. She had a septic violation, didn't she?
She didn't have a building up, and she didn't even have an approved septic system.
Right. So what did we give her? We went out 3 years with her, which was ridiculous.
Right. We gave her 3 years to build a home. But she didn't come in compliance. She put her property up for sale with a dock, with no septic, no home there, anything.
Okay.
Would not let it go through.
Wait.
I think what Dick is saying, I think that if these people already have the home, they're qualified in all the other areas except this septic system. I think 1 year, what Dick is saying, or until September, give them time to put a septic system in. Otherwise, they will lose their license, and I think that's plenty of time.
Yeah, I guess.
And not only that, but that water is draining into our lake.
Right. Here's actually what I think we should do. Because we already sent the letter, why don't we just tickle this out a year and make sure that they fixed it?
Well, that's going to come into play with what we are doing with the Rules Committee.
Right.
Things
right.
Different.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
So I don't think we need to write another letter, but let's just put something in the file that says a year from now or 11 months from now, we pick this up and find out that they came into compliance, there's not an issue, or they're off the dock association and nobody really cares about it anymore, but just that we follow up. And I also think we should be careful about that in the future, just to...
Well, isn't that really the essence of the
rules
committee discussion right now? And Joe and others are going to be working on that.
Because that will supersede any of the individual.
Right. So why don't we just simply take a mental note that is part of what we'd like to come.
But let's not
to us.
Let's not leave their file out the open.
Well, we have a database now of
okay,
that's what that was supposed to check.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just so you all know, that was a concern I had about how do we keep these things in mind when they're 6 months or a year out, whatever. But now Stephanie's put together a spreadsheet so we can kind of keep track of those things. So,
and Dave did mention something else there that I wanted to address regarding the building also for the
when you get there. Later on? Okay. All right. Let's move away then from the action items. I probably should have asked at the beginning if there was anything else that was not on the agenda that we need to be talking about this morning, or is everything pretty much incorporated? Anybody around the table here has something that they needed to bring, just so we can keep track of time?
Mr. Chairman, it's been my position in the past that anything goes on the agenda that's asked to be on the agenda. You as chairman or you as secretary doesn't have the right to not include something on the agenda.
Right.
However, we as a group can decide to take it off the agenda. Historically in the past, Doug was making those decisions, and I challenged him on this. I said, you don't have the right to decide what goes on our agenda. If somebody asks to be on our agenda, one person doesn't say, no, it doesn't go on. So that it goes on the agenda, and then it comes up here, and then we can review the agenda and decide as a group that we're not going to talk about it.
Is that within our policy, or is that within the practice of this group?
I believe that.
Can you put your finger on it, where it is in the
practice of this group? No, we actually decided that that's fine. It doesn't happen very often, but...
Because there is a point at which chair has discretion to make a ruling. And so that may be what Doug
It doesn't really say that in our bylaws at all.
From a Robert's Rules point of view, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, I could say, for example, right now, sorry, Dick, that's out of order. We're not going to deal with it.
Because you're right, because you can do that at this meeting. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't give you authority to speak for us as a group. That was always my case. You do not have the authority to speak for this group outside of this meeting. Neither do I, and neither does the other commissioner.
I understand that. I guess I'm not sure. Where's our issue here? What's the concern?
Because we're talking about the agenda and how we deal with it.
Right.
Anything goes on, and if anybody shoots, we can set in our regular meeting agenda. We don't list agenda on it, but we could. But typically what happens is if anybody has an issue with it, we just say, hey, I have an issue with this on the agenda. But we could go through the formality of Robert's Rules of Order of going through agenda. Do we accept the agenda, any modifications to the agenda, and vote on accepting it, which I hate, but we could do.
I was just asking if there are other topics that weren't included here that we're going to need to spend some time with this morning. That's all I'm saying, informally. We'd never be able to raise an issue, in my judgment, and have a discussion and make a decision on that if it doesn't appear ahead of time. We need to have at least time to process these things. But
right.
I'm just interested to know, in terms of managing our time here, whether or not there's other things that are going to be salient and important for us to talk about. So, okay, well, that's fine. Let's move on here. Can you tell us about your report?
Not a lot. Just getting to the point of the year now. Clean up at the boat launch at the fishing area. Begin some of that stuff in the month of April. According to our compliance timeline that Stephanie made, Ken Geffert on trail one needs to have his shed removed by April 1st. And it was stated previously that it was not removed, and I will physically remove it myself. Okay, so I'll head down there April 1st and see if that's removed. And I think it's still there. So if it is still there, then I will remove that for the RLRD. Hmm. Besides that, looking at different attendance for the boat launch coming up for the 2014 boating season. And that's about it for me right now.
Okay. You're in the process of hiring folks for that?
You're talking people. People are sending
me some money.
Yeah, they're applying at the district. So I'll set up some interviews by the end of April. And we'll make up a schedule, and I'll present the schedule to you guys with some hours, and we'll go from there. I think our first weekend we're open is Memorial Day weekend. We have to do some training with the invasive species, boat inspections, et cetera, rules, RLRD rules and that. So, mm-hmm.
So we, just as a side response to that, if we're hiring a 17-year-old, for example, or an 18-year-old or whatever, to
15-year-old
to make those decisions about whether a boat has anything on their axle or whatever, do we ask them to do that? Is that what you mean by the training?
Yes, and yes, we will be asking them to do that. It will be a decision if they see something, that.
They also ask the question, have you been to other waters?
I guess what my issue really is, not that they can't do that or would recognize that, but I'm wondering about whether a male or a female who's 17, what are you going to do about that? If somebody is a little, so what, I'm coming in here anyway kind of a thing, what do they have to, what recourse do they have to actually ask them to pull aside?
Call the sheriff.
Let's have a look at that.
Call the sheriff.
So, is that part of the training? Or maybe we just haven't had that issue, but I'm just wondering whether or not a person of that
We've had issues last year. The nice thing this year is we have cameras. We have a camera right inside the attendance building when a person pulls up. So everything is on camera. Everything is videotaped, and that's one nice thing about it. Mm. And there's a couple instances last year where the attendants actually pulled a person. You are being taped currently, just to let you know. And if it's something where, we've had people in the past, complain about the cost, I'm not going to pay that, well, you're not going to launch.
And but that is seldom an issue.
Yeah, very seldom does happen, but it has happened in the past.
Who's the biggest problem?
Who?
Let's tell them this all the time. The biggest problem is landowners who don't follow the rules and get an attitude. People who come in and are told that it's $30 to launch their boat either say, oh, okay, or they go, really? And they go, yeah, that's what the thing is, and then they either decide to pay or they leave. Landowners who don't have a permit and show up and think that they're entitled to be on that lake and aren't playing by our rules are the ones that give them the biggest grief, and a lot of grief.
My only issue is more with the invasive species issue, and that is, what can a person do if they suspect that, oop, there's something kind of hanging from the back of your trailer there? Can we have a look at that? Have you seen that? And the guy says, no, look, I've been, you know, blah, blah, blah. I just didn't know what we've done in the past. Maybe we just haven't had that issue.
If something's noticeable on a boat, it is not, it's pretty much, the rule is, the boat's not allowed in the water. It's not just pick something off, okay, let's launch the boat. The rule is the boat needs to be clean and dry. The only case generally when that would happen is, and it could happen otherwise, but you generally are a fisherman. But like I said, the gate is already open at that point in time. I mean, we you know, put it lightly, we missed a boat on that.
Yeah.
Okay, because they're already in the water. I would say 90% of those issues. Most of the people who launch at the lake in the afternoon are generally not fishermen. Okay, they're people there for recreation, for boating, for tubing, etc. So, last year it never really happened where a person was denied access for any seaweed on their prop or a zebra mussel stuck to the boat. Okay, it did not happen.
And what would we do if we thought it was an issue anyhow?
The boat would be denied.
And then what? For a day?
Or
do they have to
at least come
back with a certificate that they had it professionally cleaned? Or
no.
What is the rule?
The rule, what I tell them is the boat would have to be denied until the next day. People have to take it home, clean it, dry it, and show no signs of.
Which is probably ineffective in the big scheme of things.
Well, it could be, but it could also be effective too.
It's okay for awareness.
There's nothing perfect in this, but like I said, if we do nothing, I think that's a real issue.
Isn't one of them that we asked them though, where they've been?
Yeah, we have a list, and what I compiled was a list of different lakes and what invasive species are in those lakes, what to look for. So if I ask, you know, where'd you launch last? Oh, we just came from Canisius Lake. Okay, well, this is what we're looking for, Canisius Lake, according to our sheet and boat launch. And they would look for those objects.
That's the biggest thing, I think, is to ask them where they've been looking.
Yeah, again, my only issue is that I'm not saying let's not hire an 18-year-old to do that. I'm just saying sometimes the difference between somebody who's 45 and a little more gruff or whatever and how that's
not true. It's not true there, and it would probably be age discrimination. These kids handle themselves very well.
Well, I'm glad that's true. I'm sure that's part
they
of
the They had to put up with people swearing at them and stuff like that. They handle it quite well.
Okay. Hopefully that is fine. I'm not saying we should do anything other than that. I'm just wondering what the history has been and what kind of training we do so they know what to do and they don't get all.
And do you understand why I'm answering it?
Of course I don't.
Because I ran the launch for probably about 8 years.
From that point of view, sure.
Thank you.
Last year, I spent a great deal of time with each person and I would stay with them for hours, you know, demonstrate, you know, how to conduct yourself, what to do, what questions to ask, what to look for. So,
okay.
And we didn't really have a great number of employees last year. We had, I think, 3 or 4. So it was, and most of them, I think all of them were there, except for maybe one in the past year. So they've had some experience.
Okay. Good. Well, I trusted.
I guess maybe to further answer that, if somebody is giving one of our employees a hard time, is there some type of backup support
they call the
that
sheriff.
They can call?
Well, usually what they could, usually what would happen last year, they call me first. My cell phone's always on me, and I did talk to a few residents a number of times last year. You have a problem? Here's my boss. Okay, I'm on the phone.
Okay.
Twice I went down there.
But that's for policy. That's for policies, though.
Yeah.
Right. If somebody's, I don't know if you change this, if somebody went by one of the attendants and said, I'm not paying, I don't care whether I have a permit and stuff, I'm launching, don't call the cops. That easy. And each of them didn't have an issue doing it at all, and most of them have some relationship with the sheriffs because they're down there. And I encourage them to get to know them and be their friend because they have to work together.
All right, sounds like that's handled. I have to extend my concern. I just was, I know enough. The disparity sometimes between ages, it makes it difficult to respond. That's what I'm saying.
It's a great if we have unusual. It's a known issue, and when you hire, it's one of the things you look for.
Let's move on. Anybody have a report from Bill? There's nothing he turned in, so we don't really have a treasury report.
I signed the check.
So, you signed what?
I signed the check.
A check.
Who was that, the bid call?
No, it was for the oil.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll defer that to next time. I included within the agenda today just an indication of the last two reports that I had given to the Town of Canandaigua Board. I thought it would be useful for this group just to know the kinds of things that I have highlighted there. Talked to Deb, and Deb has agreed that she will also do that in the future. So we expect them to just to have that. I know that that's a courtesy, and it hasn't been typically part of the past, but I knew that Dick had agreed to that. The dam facilities manager report. Bill is not here today. I knew that ahead of time. I was at the meeting. Chad was there. Jenny was there. Stephanie was there.
I was there.
Meeting last week. We had a meeting with Bidco representative, I can never remember his name, Eric Chevrolet, I guess it is. And there is a dam committee report. If you've had a chance to look at that, the highlights are bulleted there. And the people who were there, David was also there by way of Skype. And in effect, we are going all out this spring to fix the issue. There should be, in the first 2 weeks of April, the hydraulic folks coming down from Massachusetts, I think, to look at hydraulic hoses and pump and rebuild the pump and so forth. And in the 2 weeks after that, that is the second half of April, Bidco should be in the water working to solve our problem. That, in effect, is what this committee report is suggesting. The thought here is, while they're here, let's get the job done. We're going to work as far into the spring as we have to get the thing solved.
Yeah, I understand that somebody went out and measured ice and it was like 18 inches, which is significant for this time of year.
Other questions that we might have about this committee report? It is probably the biggest single thing on our plate right now, trying to get this thing solved. It seemed like there was a specific plan. There was a request of Eric to put together several scenarios relative to costs associated with those, so we should be getting those before too long, so we have some idea. If all went just as planned, this is what it's likely to cost, and then here are some other possibilities that we'd have to pay for. So we're interested in having it nailed down as to what some of the likely costs are going to be. It's been a bit open-ended at this point in time, but we have to solve it. And he said that he would put together some kind of several scenarios with the costs. And I assume those will either come to me or Stephanie, to the office, and you'll let me know when that does come. I'm interested in that. Any other questions about this report? Anything, David, that you remember you were there? Anything else you want to add?
No, I think that the report was very thorough. I think it was very good. And I think you covered the majority of the things in there. And the one main thing, it was the cost, and they are going to come up with that, which you had mentioned. But I think we're going to know where we stand once we get the estimate back from Bidco and what the other possibilities are that may happen. I think we're good.
Yeah. Well, we're good in terms of a plan. We don't have the problem solved just yet, but I think we know how we're going to try to do that. They are, by the way, bringing their own crane down, which will add some to the cost, but that crane has the capacity to lift that 4,000-pound it's not the door, but it's the hydraulic cylinder up for a good look-see, and so that's, anyway, that's part of what's going to happen. So there will be activity going on over there, hopefully during April and possibly into May. But the plan, again, would be to try to solve the problem so we don't have to move into the fall. All right, let's go to the committee reports. Let's go down quickly. Communications Committee, is there anything that needs to be said? I'll just mention here, since that group typically publishes our newsletter or is involved with that, seems reasonable that at the completion of the fix, that we perhaps, maybe May and June, have another newsletter come out to explain where the situation lies. Would that be reasonable? Are we thinking that way? That I know we don't typically have one 3-4 months later, but it would seem reasonable to have
What I think, newsletter. Gerald, if we do have problems with the dam, we will have to come up with a letter by August to say if we're going to have an early drawdown. But if everything goes well, I don't see a newsletter until maybe possibly September or October at that time. I think it all depends on how the dam does.
Well, that's why I'm just really anticipating, just kind of announcing that it would make sense that once things are fixed, hypothetically, and you know, 1st of May or so, that we announce that that's the case, and let folks understand. We'll know by that time, I would think, whether we're needing a drawdown. I'm concerned about people who may have, you know, rented cottages for that first week in October or whatever. We need to have the word out earlier than August or September.
Okay.
Maybe it wouldn't have to be a full-blown newsletter, but
I have an opportunity.
A letter.
If we could get something on a dam update on the website, like even a specific page for it, that we could keep everybody updated, even after this meeting, that we can say, actually, we could post this to the website, so anybody want to go there, they'd understand that there was a meeting, these are what we discussed, and then when we got, it could take it further. And then what I would offer was, as editor for the landowner's newsletter, we would put a box in there that says, visit this website to keep current on what's happening at the dam. And at least people who are members of the landowners would see that,
which
is not all-inclusive, but at least anybody would know to go there and see what's going on.
Another thing that we can also do, depending on the dam goes, if it doesn't all go well and they're going to do work in the fall, we can put signs up around the lake, you know how we do with October 15th. We could put them up earlier in July. Drawdown will be September 15th this year or whatever date needs to be done. And that would, people wouldn't miss that either.
Yeah. I'm just trying to improve and increase communication so everybody is on the same page.
I think the big deal is if we think that it's a good idea just to get a page on the website that lists all these updates for what's going on. Whether or not you want me to put that in the newsletter, if it existed, I would do it anyhow. Mm-hmm.
I recognize a certain percentage of the population who live here both are out of town but also are not always on the website or wouldn't be able to go there.
No, I just said if somebody, that's the best thing we can do for communications.
For now.
We'll put it up there. If anybody wants to know, and the people, a lot of times when you're in your neighborhood, it's like, oh yeah, I was on the website the other day and this is what I found out. There's talk about it.
Do we know, what does it cost to do a bulk mailing to all the residents?
$1,000.
$1,000. It puts it in their mailbox, even, and it's also posted, but again, I'm a little leery about simply posting it there and somehow having, like, your newsletter or whatever else.
I'm just thinking it's not a bad idea, whether or not you actually communicate in writing to them, fine. I just think it would be a good idea for us to put that up on the website.
Yeah.
Even if five people are the only people that ever go there and visit, at least we've done our job and said, we have current updates. You can manage that.
Right. All right. We've got time to talk further about that. We maybe would know something probably a bit early in our April meeting about where we are with the dam. But
are we going to put that in the agenda?
What?
discussing whether or not we're going to have a website page for the dam updates.
Separate page as opposed to just a place to announce.
Call it what you want.
I don't know, I'm just thinking a link.
Well, the link would probably go to a page.
You have to put the information there.
I don't really care how you do it. Let's just get it on the website. So is that an item for the next meeting if we're not going to decide that now?
I don't know. We need to, I don't know that it needs any kind of a motion. I mean, I don't need any motion if we want to do
whose action item is it?
Well, that'd be mine.
Okay.
That'd be mine. Stephanie, just so you know, action item talked about making sure that information is on the website, updating where we are with the dam. And it's, in my judgment, a separate issue whether or not we're going to send out a
I don't disagree with that.
Yeah. All right. Dam Repair Committee, I guess we've already had a discussion about that.
Okay, so
just one thing, Darryl.
I don't know what's going on today.
Sorry, David.
On a timeline, just because, you know, I do have residents who ask, especially when I go on dock inspections. They cannot start to repair until the ice is gone to move the barge over there, or how are they going to do that? Because they got to be able to move the barge over. So
yes.
Once they, let's say, some of the ice is gone, they move the barge over. Now they're not going to raise the water. They're still going to keep it at the same level during repairs, or they don't let the water come up.
They're not doing anything with the water level.
Yeah. It's going to come up in a natural way.
So okay. Because I've had a number of people ask me, is it going to be a late year?
They refuse to not let the lake fill. And okay. If the lake filling means that they don't get the repair done, then they deal with that decision, understanding that it might be that we let the lake down really early in the fall.
Okay.
But
okay.
They will do nothing. They won't let any water out to prevent it from filling to do the work.
And they're bringing in extra barge. They're bringing extra barge.
They're bringing in
two extra, isn't it?
Two extra and a crane.
Yeah.
So there's a good chance that when our lake is full, the barges will still be out on the water. So people could be boating while we have barge. So this guy's question is that crane.
Here's what you hope for. You hope that that's the situation.
Okay.
Because then we'd have a full lake.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. I was looking at eye because, you know, with that crane right now. What's the positioning of it? Do we plan on leaving it there? Do we plan on moving out of the way?
Is the crane in the
boat? The crane's right in the boat launch.
No. That crane's going to, I don't know, that crane, mm-hmm. The crane that they're going to use is going to end up on the barges that they're bringing to be able to maneuver things over at the dam.
Okay.
That crane, even if they left that crane there, they could get it out of the way. That's how they get their equipment in and out of the lake.
Okay. Well, I just wonder if they're going to be able to move that back and forth.
If it got to a point where it was in the way, they'd get it. They can't be in the water anyhow.
Yeah. It has to be back anyways. Okay.
DEC,
the question has come up to me as to whether or not they're going to hold the level of the lake at a certain level.
The answer
my understanding
is
no. It's going to come up naturally. Yeah, it makes it a little bit more complicated, but they're preparing, gearing up to be able to solve the problem regardless of the level of the lake.
Thank you.
Environmental Committee, we've already had David. Anything else, David, about that? But I think.
I'm still here, but I turned off my video because we have a bad connection, but I can see you.
Okay. Let's move on. And Finance Committee, is there anything that I don't know if anybody without Bill being here and can be said? Legal Committee, Joe, is there anything that.
I know you don't have it on here for executive session, but I was going to just go over a couple things on the lawsuit. It's scheduled for the one that's been going on for a few years for another conference.
Okay, and I think we will go into executive session after this to have you talk a little bit more about that.
I think we publicly have to acknowledge.
Publicly acknowledge what?
An appeal.
Oh, that's not what I was going to talk about. I can do that. The Dale Young lawsuit was dismissed with prejudice. At this point, Mr. Bielewitz has filed a notice of appeal, but that process is relatively lengthy. There are certain procedural things that will have to be done at the Supreme Court, to what's called settle the record, to see which documents and parts of litigation that'll be included in the appeal, and then there'll be time for brief drafting, time for reply briefs. So, I mean, it could take anywhere from, a conservative estimate would be 9 to 10 months. However, it could take a year and a half or more for the appeal to complete. So it's one of those things that I'll take no action on it until Mr. Bielowitz takes his next procedural step. But otherwise, you know, we just sit back and see if they follow through.
And an additional cost to the landowners of the district.
Yeah, and it will be at an additional cost to the landowners of the district, unfortunately.
Do we have permission to use our docks?
As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to talk to the board a little bit more about, you know, the strategy and ramifications of the appeal, but I think the position has been from the very beginning that the district keeps focusing on its priorities and doing things. It's right now, the judge has ruled that the Hudson Bay is in the purview of the district. The 11 acres surrounding it is part of the district's land below the 1450. And the entire time we've taken that position and haven't backed up and to stop enforcing the policies or doing the work down there is unnecessary. I mean, I think the district needs to keep going forward with its plans. I don't see any reason. An appeal, first of all, the burden on an appeal is very, very high. Statistically, the appellate division will only reverse a judge on the lower court maybe 5 out of 100. The burden is very high because it's presumed that the judge who made the decision had the best view of all the facts, everything in front of him. And the law has been on the RLRD side. I mean, people try to sue municipalities left and right, and they just, you know, this is, when they do that, they're suing all their neighbors, is what they're doing. I mean, they're not just suing the Rushford Lake Recreation District. They're suing every person who pays under the taxes and has a vested interest in the municipality. So, and the appellate division is largely antagonistic to residents suing municipalities. I mean, I've been involved on the other side of it, where we had a case against a municipality at the state level, and we made a lot of progress in Livingston County, but actually this was a case where they reversed it because the appellate division really looks at the protection of municipalities and state entities with strict compliance. So I think Judge Brown's decision is sound, and I think if the appeal is actually completed, it'll be upheld.
Well, the thing is, like, if the Lake District, they give us permission to use our docks because he throws people out every once in a while. Some people haven't done that to me, but, you know, this is mine.
Well, he has no right to do that, and that's one of the things that
we do.
Yeah, we'll have, and that's something that's probably due to the litigious nature of it and some things that we'll need to talk about that I'll have to take care of in executive session. And then once the board makes its decision, they can come out and discuss publicly how we're going to handle it.
And the other thing, too, they were talking about, they're supposed to cut us an access to get in there. We don't know where that is either.
Yeah, well, and there are some things, like I said, that have to be worked on, but the position, you know, that the district is going to take is that they own the land. They have rights to regulate Hudson Bay, to license the docks down there, and that's some things that they'll have to work out. And obviously,
we're suffering from that. You know, I fell a couple times walking down to the dock, and that's ridiculous. It's going on for 7 years.
You have to cross a guardrail and then slide down a hill.
Yeah, I mean I don't know what it would cost to get a dozer in there and just cut us down there easy. You know,
and I think that's something that'll have to be done, but I can't. The board's going to have to be the one that makes decisions how to do that, authorizes the expense for that, and maybe that's something.
Well, when you're talking about that in executive session, those are some of the things that we probably would want brought up.
I don't know if that's something that would have to be talked about in executive session. I'm more talking about protecting the rights as vis-a-vis the individual who still is trying to maintain that's, you know, his purview. That type of stuff, I think that is should very well probably be on the agenda and talked about openly, and perhaps, you know, I recommend an April agenda item on how we're going to provide safe access to Hudson Bay for the dock licensees. It makes, I don't think that needs to be an executive session, because that's something that the board should go forward with. It's more the other issues you're talking about with, you know, if the litigant continues to take action outside of the court into his own hands, have the district deal with that and protect the residents, and that stuff that, that they need to talk about, me and how.
Maybe a restraining order or something. I won this lawsuit, this is mine, you people don't have a right, that's what was told to me by other people.
Even recently?
Well, not before.
Oh.
Not after the first lawsuit.
Yeah.
And he said, I won this lawsuit, I got this already been decided, and, you know, it's hearsay.
Yeah, no, no, I mean, that's two dismissals now, so.
Yeah.
And you know, certainly we're gonna be, we'll be continuing to maintain the position, you know, all the way through the appeal. We're not gonna, there's no point to give an inch. Everything has been in the RLRD's favor, but it's one of those things that may or may not materialize, and if it does, the appeal process is very lengthy, so.
Thank you for that. Any else, Joe?
No, just other than talking about the couple items with the litigation and executive session.
Okay. Jenny, you want to report on the Rules Committee meeting we had?
Well, we met on the 18th, and the basic topic was compliance. And we had set up some guidelines for different items. For example, for a homeowner to get a copy of the deed here on file in the office, we're going to give about a 60-day time period, a copy of a survey, a 90-day period, then the septic, a year. And then we discussed the 500-square-foot building compliance, and we discussed a 2-year window. But then I went into some older records that I have, and I found that there was an instance, and this would be other than the one that Dave spoke about earlier, where we, where the district gave a particular party a 3-year window for a new person buying a vacant lot to build a residence, a 500 square.
That had a dock affiliated with it.
So I'm wondering if we need to maybe readdress this 2 years, and if it may be like an addition on a, maybe somebody only needs an addition on a building to make it 500 square foot, and then there's also the new build.
The point, though, you're saying is that the committee talked about these things.
Correct.
Joe is there on telephone, and there's another meeting going to happen, I guess, at some point in time. There's several interested people to craft information, to craft this information into something that's going to come back to us.
Yeah.
So, from a report point of view, I think we just simply say that there has been some other history. We don't need to decide that now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else about the Rules Committee and what they planned?
We don't have a meeting scheduled.
Did you want to schedule one now? Would that be good?
That's fine with me.
Okay.
Yeah. Because we forgot to do that at the meeting.
Yeah. So we've been normally meeting on Tuesdays.
Is this a meeting that would happen prior to or after Joe and others are going to craft something for us?
Well, no, or
is it related to that?
It would be just the next Rules Committee meeting.
Just another committee meeting, not necessarily dealing with compliance.
Well, we can include that.
Yeah.
I thought we already took care of that, the compliance issue last meeting.
Well, we still got to.
Well, I think we're going to start working on some language, though, that explains. You know, I thought my idea, what I was going to do was take a look at the handbook and see whether it could be added as a subpoint to an existing section, or whether it should be amended and put its own section in. And I mean, just a little bit of background. One of the reasons that this came about is one of the things that it's actually kind of rare that someone is so out of compliance that it's going to cause a huge financial hardship. And the issues that we've been running into the last, well, you know, 3-4 years is that the district is not out there policing. So we're not sending Chad out or the DOC committee to find people who are not in compliance. I mean, that's kind of how I think homeowners associations sort of act. You know, they send people around who are measuring your grass and doing things like this so they can write you nasty letters. That's not what the RLRD is about. But at the same time, I believe that they have an affirmative duty when it comes to their attention that something is not in compliance with the policies to correct it.
And they generally come up when there's a request.
Yeah, so they come up a couple different ways. Sometimes it's through a dispute involving two landowners, and the dispute, you know, in a sense boils below the 1450, and now the district has to get involved. The other might very well be, and it is unfortunate because it kind of adds insult to injury. Someone has this vacant lot, they've been using this dock for 10 years, and now they want to, you know, they bring it to the board's attention that, oh, we want to knock this dock down and add three slips, and then, you know, Stephanie pulls out the file that there might be a deed, but there's no septic approval, there's no survey. Why is that? Oh, because there's no house on it. Well, you can't just expect someone to go erect a 500 square foot dwelling, you know, by clapping their hands, so at the same time, without completely just destroying the rights they have, but also not completely circumventing the policies, to put things into place that I think provide people with due process. And 2 or 3 years might seem like a long time, but the thought process behind it was the building season in Western New York. I mean, there are just, you know, I think it's fair to say that there are a good 5 months out of the year that you really can't have a construction crew out there building a house from scratch. And so that's why that...
And the seasonal nature of it.
Yeah, and the seasonal nature of it. And at the same time, too, if they haven't done it in 2 years, they've had more than due notice that dock license is going to be revoked, and then the board would be completely insulated and protected from somebody who's saying, you know, the standard language that people bring actions against the municipality is arbitrary and capricious. I don't think any judge is going to find arbitrary and capricious that someone was given.
And Joe, in the conversation we were having about the two-year thing, certainly if somebody approached the commission and showed us that he's been working for 2 years and just hasn't gotten it done, that we wouldn't be willing to offer an extension.
Right. Well, I just wanted to bring it to the attention that we did grant somebody and another party 3 years.
What's reasonable for us to do is if somebody's been working on it and they're falling short, then we can really grant them an extension.
Yeah, well, and I think, and that was one of the things, and I think, too, that, you know, we got this letter 3 years, the other one 2 years, we need consistency, and I think that's why having an actual policy in place is important.
But my feeling, and this is probably more rules committee, my feeling would be that's okay that we did 3 years, but we're going to set the policy, and if we agree to 2 years, then we have the policy.
Yeah, and I agree with that. But let me just say that, well, is it too early, Joe, to think that we could have an agenda item of something to consider that could be crafted by the time the meeting ends next month, which is the 20th?
Well, is that the only thing that's on the rules at all? Right now?
I think that was the biggest issue.
But I mean, is there anything else we
can do? We discussed the fees at the launch.
That's done.
Was the April meeting last Saturday?
It's the 26th, I believe.
The next one's the 26th of April.
I won't be at that meeting.
I think that's reasonable. It's a month.
So you make it a goal to try to have something from, I don't know that there needs to be a rules committee between now and then. Would there be
because I can make it, let me look at the calendar here. I'll put something on and try and make it my goal to have something to you guys via email like a week before. So, well, the week before is Easter weekend.
Right.
About middle of the month.
Let's see.
Give us time to...
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, maybe by like the, if I can give it to you, sometime around the 16th there before we head into Good Friday, 16th or 17th.
Okay. Stephanie, for your, do you have David? Maybe not.
He's going to join executive session.
Okay.
Let me just
ask you that while you were gone, we said we were going to try to put as an agenda item, a report of, what would you want to call it? It's kind of the Rules Committee
compliance
language for consideration. Don't want to let it go too far into the season if we can. Sooner is better, but we realize that we've got this big holiday in here and it's going to throw a bit of a...
So then you see the need for another meeting.
So I wouldn't think so until we have a chance to talk about it here. Okay? Now, Dick, what were you going to say?
Well, I just tried my phone. I don't have service here. I mean, we can put a phone up here.
Southern Tier Wireless has been trying to fix, work on the internet, so we put down fix Thursday.
There's not a, but there's not a phone jack or anything up here that we could, I mean, we could certainly get a phone here, Dave.
He's okay with that, he just asked that executive session be downstairs.
Just for the record, at April 26th meeting, I won't be at, I have work, two work commitments that Perry is taking out.
If it's okay with you, I will just try to reach David.
Can you, yeah, because that's what I tried to do, but I don't have service. Are you Verizon?
I got one bar.
Well, but you're sitting there and I'm sitting here, is the difference, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, we lost Mr. Malter last week at the
ringing.
Yeah.
If you go in the middle of the street, you get a halfway decent signal.
Hi, David. David, can you hear me? Yes, can you hear me? Okay. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, well, don't worry about it.
All right, well, we'll call you during executive session and see if we can make this work at that point in time, but we don't want to hold up.
Yeah, go on with the meeting.
All right.
And if you could have to send it downstairs.
Yes, we'll try to do that.
With the telephone?
Yep, we'll do that. All right, thank you. All right, let's move on. I guess we can move down to the DOC licensing committee. Chad, you want to walk us through that? Anything there that...
I don't think so.
These are just four things we can...
I move to accept what was presented in the consent agenda.
Second.
I have to refrain from two, so I'm not going
okay,
to...
Okay, that's where not having Deb and...
Dave said it was okay.
We should discuss just the one just to tell. Just it is a consent agenda. Pre-sale on Wiser Drive Dock Association, which is right next to Matt Shimera, who we've already given permission to repair the wall. We decided that, I call it the south side of the dock, where all the slips are. Those people are only allowed to use a runabout, cannot put a pontoon boat there. If they put a pontoon boat, then they will be blocking Mr. Shimera of using that side.
But that's on the permit?
Yes. So for his pre-sale, the way it works for a pre-sale is according to Wiser Drive Stock Association policies, it goes by seniority. So the last person on the dock, all right, and I would assume that those slips that have a limited boat size are probably the ones that would be given to people with the least seniority on the list. So we just notified on the consent agenda that he cannot purchase, the new owner cannot purchase a pontoon boat to dock on that side of dock, can only be a runabout, which is a narrower boat.
We usually do that by length. We usually limit it by length, so he's only allowed to have like a 15-foot boat or a 17-foot boat or something.
Yeah, I wasn't concerned about how long it is, because when he parked the lengthwise against it. I'm just concerned about the width.
How are you defining that then?
Well,
I mean, I hate to say you can't have a pontoon boat if he finds a place to do it. He could, that you can't dock a boat.
There would be no room for a pontoon boat.
No, I understand that. So I'm just trying to figure out how you word it. You know, saying.
It'd be limited to those, a width?
It was like 78 feet from the back of that out to the corner when we measure it, then that would be the restrictive area along the side of that dock.
Yeah.
Can we ask that the boat permit be approved by the district? So if he comes and says, this is what I have, and we go, okay, that'll work.
Okay, I like that idea. That makes sense.
Okay. So that goes on.
Like, yeah. I'm thinking about what our options are here, given our limited three commissioners around the table here.
That's a drawing of the, see, with Mr. Shimera now using his side, which would be.
One's one way, one's the other, so this is why.
Okay, Corporation. This is Shamira. So if he now has use of this area, boats are not going to be able to pull down in here.
Right.
So you can't have a wider than.
Right, just a runabout.
Right.
It was 23 foot wide of the Great Falls above the Great Falls.
I don't think we have to vote on anything here.
Okay.
I just think if that's what we decide.
Just put that in the file then. Just put that in the file.
They can really come from the dock committee. The recommendation is that, and we can modify that thing right there to say that. Yeah.
I just want to bring it to attention.
So I guess we're worried about accepting this, but three of us can vote on it.
Well, we can.
So we're fine.
But bylaws require that three would have to be a 3-0 vote, in other words, to do that. And I didn't know whether or not you're asking about recusing yourself from the situation.
No, she merely needs to advise us of a possible conflict, and we can decide if we think it is or not. And I wouldn't have a problem with her voting on it. Would you?
I don't. If we understand, if it's all clear,
I understand that there is a restriction in there. Yes, and I have no problem.
Yeah, I don't believe that your Hanford is going to influence your vote, so I'm comfortable with you voting.
Mm-hmm. All right. That being the case, then any other discussion?
So what we're saying is we're just going to modify the doc.
Yeah.
The report. And indicate that we think that it should be whatever vessel it is approved by the district. Right?
Yes.
So that's what we're going to vote on.
Just to clarify.
So I had the motion on the floor to accept them all as presented, and then I'll modify that to include the discussion about modifying the WISER doc to include provisions for the district to approve whatever boat they are going to be docking there forever.
And again, because I can't second something, are you able to second it so we can get to a point of vote? I don't know, again.
If I'm allowed to, I'll second it.
Sure.
I think you're allowed to.
Okay.
We've accepted your, that it's not a concern.
Okay. Any further discussion about that? Understand what his motion is? Chad, I guess that mostly falls in your lap in terms of being able to basically approve the vote.
Yeah.
All right, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It is passed. Brings us to any other old business. I'm not aware of any. New business, pretty thin today. We are going to go to the session in just a little while. It'll take some time for anybody who wants to ask a question. There's anything for the public who would like to make a comment or ask a question.
Mm-hmm. I would like to ask the board to keep us informed if there's any legal things going on with Hutton Bay, if they could inform one of us or all of us as license holders about any changes or anything going down there. Simple call or, just to update us and keep us informed.
Do we have a definitive list of folks like the Austin Tire, right?
My name is Scott.
I'm sorry. Forgive me. I know there's at least three of you here who have had some issues or concerns about that. So I'm wondering, do we have a definitive list of people so we can be
in there? The list of the people that I currently have. This was dated back in, I believe, in
2010.
That's the only list that I have of the people that were...
With no phone numbers or
emails
or addresses?
Right.
Are you saying there's not?
Are
there email addresses?
No.
No, just last names.
What I was going to suggest is, sure, we'd be glad to do that if you would provide us with a list of email contacts.
Yeah. All right.
Wouldn't it be easier to maybe assign one person?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If he comes back, if you provide us with a contact, preferably an email.
I'll give you mine at the end of the session when you come back.
Then who's going to be responsible for that?
For
communicating.
Do you want? Falls on my balcony here.
But we'll.
But my concern is, that going to work okay for you to be in touch with everybody else?
I can.
Do they want to have direct contact from us?
You know, if these two are okay with it, or, you know. I have a few people coming back into the area within the next month or so, so.
Do you have is there a formal organization with any officer or whatever, anybody who would
this
have
this has
natural?
Been on hold.
He's working on it.
You know, I'm working on it, but it's been on hold. My hands are tied because, you know, of the legal actions and.
It's probably a good exercise for you to get that together anyhow because of what you're working on.
Right.
So, I mean, if you need any help, the office is open on Tuesday, Thursdays.
Right.
I mean, if you need a phone number, if we have
right.
something on file, I think we can share a phone number or something like that.
I appreciate that. I have the phone numbers, you know, to the office and everything. So
tell me, maybe you say your name is Scott.
Scott.
Okay, I should know that. All right, thank you, Scott. Anybody else? Mm-hmm.
Judy Walter. Is there anything come out of the Rules Committee regarding the locking of the launch or set hours?
Yeah, it's not been established.
Discussion. No final in terms of this season coming up.
What were your thoughts?
I thought, you know, I thought
well, we
this
did,
were
we did raise it somewhere, but what was your position on that?
I thought that at this meeting there would be some kind of resolution as to what they're going to do as far as protecting against invasive species by locking that launch.
Okay, so what is your position on that?
Yes, we need to get this done.
Okay. So is that a reason they have a
and it's
committee?
Been, it's
I don't
been
know if that's Rules Committee.
Or that? I think that's more Launch Committee, isn't it?
Or
we discussed this.
Yeah, we discussed it a number of times.
Originally, I was under the impression we were going to have a locked gate, and then we changed that to last meeting. Mm-hmm. You know,
we really haven't talked about the mechanisms how we're going to make that happen, though. We talked about the goodness of it today, but exactly how to make that happen. Do we have a person who runs around and does that, locks and unlocks at a certain time, and what those times are? But I agree with you. I think it needs to be decided soon.
But we've been discussing this for a long period of time now. So
right.
Before you came on board, there was discussion about having a gate with a swipe card, and that was going to cost the district about $10,000.
What group should this be referred to be sure we get it resolved so we can have it on the next agenda?
Well, I thought we had a plan that I was supposed to go to the Rules Committee. That was a process.
Okay. I mean, I don't have a problem with that.
I don't either.
Last board meeting.
If anybody here doesn't realize it, when the Rules Committee meets, it's a committee of the whole. Not that it's designed that way, but that's the way it works. So it's just as good a place as any if we're all going to discuss it away from this meeting. So I don't have a problem that we just set up a meeting and hash it over.
We need to get to a point where folks like Judy, I think you said,
yes.
And others need to, just to get it nailed out.
I think we have to make a decision if we're going to do it or not first. Because last year I received quotes for automated gates. I talked to a number of companies. Then this year we're looking at putting a swinging gate, so I got those quotes. I mean, I have the quotes. The problem is, the decision is, you get the quotes, then it's like, oh, we're not going to do it. Okay, let's try this way. So I think we got to make a decision, number one, are we going to do it or not? Then let's put the ideas how we are going to do it. Okay, so there's many, many hours sunk into this. And right now, according to last meeting, that idea was taken and put on a back burner. So the hours are there. Last year, before you were here, Daryl, we had a quote on a sliding gate. We had a card switch. We have all the information. We have a discussion. My opinion is the committee needs to make a decision. Are we going to pursue this or not?
So do you
it's
want
a rules
us to...
Committee. It's a Rules Committee decision.
No.
Is that what we're agreeing on?
No, because the Rules Committee is only going to recommend to the board. And what you're saying, just let me take the other way. So what it is that at a board, we would vote.
It's a board decision.
We would vote on whether or not we want to limit access to the lake by using some locking gate mechanism. The problem is you don't want to do it at this meeting because I'm opposed to it. So it wouldn't pass. And I also think it's something that should be on the agenda ahead of time. I believe if the full board's here, it'll pass.
Well, yeah. I mean, we've talked about it several times.
So let's just put it on the agenda.
Predates me, but I guess I'm just saying, let's see if we can pull these pieces together and have some definitive decision and let it be on the agenda for next time.
Well,
so that implies,
do you
that implies the committee's going to have to get together.
To discuss what you have.
I think it would limit the time that it's going to take at the meeting. I mean, if we came in and said, we already just hashed this over and decided that the best thing for us to do is to get a gate in front of the docking area, a swinging gate that we're going to, whatever we're going to do, and the recommendation comes up from the Rules Committee that says, we believe that we should limit access and we should do it by way of a swinging gate, then we're just going to vote on it.
Well, I mean, I think one thing, and I know I wasn't real involved in this, but the report to the town of Cantadilla probably mentioned the two big issues that have stalled it, and that the determination is the financial and human resources. I think that's what you guys have to nail down is,
right.
if the answer is yes, how much are we going to spend? And if the answer is yes, what human resource do we need to justify the expenditure? I think that's, I mean, just in my involvement in the discussions, those have been the two big hangups, is the human component and the financial component. I mean, I think that's really all that needs to be broken, you know, because you've got the different quotes, and you know, that's really what it is what quote are we going to accept? What is going to be the financial expenditure?
I'm not convinced that we should have any lock down there. I don't think we should be
part of 2%
of the lakes in New York State that put locks on their launch. I just think that's...
I have no position on it. I'm just trying to clear up my understanding of what's been holding it up. That's all. It's just those two components. And if the answer is yes, then that's what's been holding it up. Right. How much are we going to spend and who's going to...
But I think that's something that the Rules Committee...
Yeah, I agree. No, they can bring it in and say, the Rules Committee recommends gate A, you know, such and such amount, and this is how it'll be manned. And then you guys, then the board will be in a better position to either have a yay or nay out there.
What do you think? Can that happen sometime between now and our next meeting?
I'd especially enjoy it because I can't be at the next meeting, so at least I'd have input on that.
So when do you want to have it? I'll be
in Florida from the 1st to the 17th.
I just got back from Florida.
You're going to be gone from the 1st to the 17th?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the 25th and the 26th. Well, the
26th will be.
The 25th is
around. That's going to be a challenge.
I'll give you 3 days.
So.
What?
That leaves the 29th, and that's after the next meeting.
It leaves the 22nd, 23rd, 24th.
22nd, Tuesday.
22nd.
Is that good for you?
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I penciled in the 22nd and 23rd would be in. I'm trying to get a meeting together down in Naples, but it's turning out.
The 23rd is better for me.
Tell me what the days of the week are.
Tuesday
or Wednesday.
Or Wednesday, 22nd, 23rd. So the Wednesday's better?
Wednesday's
23rd
better.
Is better.
That's fine.
Yeah, it is.
How about you?
It is for
23rd.
So,
what
yeah.
time?
Yep. You tell me.
6:30.
Okay. All right, so 6:30 on the 23rd.
Rules Committee.
With Rules Committee, with this particular express purpose of dealing with this issue and see if we can have something. Is that too short a time between then and the Saturday morning meeting?
Yeah.
Can we?
We have everything we need.
Okay.
You'll be there?
Yeah.
I'll be there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, you need to get us whatever those bids are.
Yeah, it's 6:30. Yeah, 6:30 is fine.
All right.
And the other thing that maybe we could do is if we could see those in an email, you know, before the meeting, then we'd be familiar with them when we got to the meeting.
Those meeting what? Bids?
The bids and stuff that he has, so we have some kind of idea of what we're looking at.
Is that okay if you
step me to email those ones? Yes. Let's remind David if he wants to try to join that.
When does Dave come back?
He'll be here for the next meeting, so I...
Steph, oh. You put out emails or letters about the meeting.
Is there anything else from folks who are visiting?
Mm-hmm. Lynn and I had applied for a floating dock a couple months ago. I was just wondering if, what had to be done for approval on this, denial on this. I was hoping to do something for Lake Philadelphia.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
A dock that's attached to a breakwall floating?
Yes.
Did you put in a request?
Yes.
It's down in that.
Yeah. This is the Dyer, Dafer, Nyer situation.
Where name's not as good as issue.
It's down where the properties cross down on.
Yeah. I don't think this thing gonna.
I don't think there's an issue with our property lines, is there, Chad?
I think there's an argument about whether or not who's got the lake frontage from it.
Yes, that's a situation where I think Joe needs an answer. We talked about that where there's litigation.
I mean, there's potential for litigation there if the parties don't work things out. I did actually fail to mention that there was something about that was going to come up in executive session. I had been contacted by Dave Pullen at one point that I thought I was going to get one of his dissertations in the mail at some point, but I did not receive it. But I did happen to talk to one of the parties who contacted my office and told me that they were they have at this point put their interaction with Mr. Pullen on hold, that they think they have a very workable plan, and they would like the in order so that no one litigates against the district, possibly have the two parties that are having the most contention come in for the April meeting and then be invited into executive session to discuss what their plan is and whether it's something that if they resolve above the 1450, if the board made a decision on it, it would keep either of the parties from litigating against the board. And I did say I'd bring that to the board today and talk about it. I mean, right now it doesn't look like, the safe approach has been not to do anything because the parties were in dispute, but if they resolve it amongst themselves and it complies with the rules, then I don't see why the board wouldn't be able to make a decision at some point.
Will this have a bearing on our water frontage, where you take the road stake, the 1450, and then...
Has there ever been a dispute over what your frontage is?
Not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of. That's why.
What's your name, sir?
Dan. Dafer.
Well, Nyers are disputing because...
Our property line? I don't think
your property line behind 1450 is not in dispute. We're talking about the lakefront. Which is not your property line.
Right.
Okay, it's a lakefront. So below the 1450, Nyers want to put a dock because they have lake frontage. They have land up to the 1450. Okay, so they want to put a dock there. Where you're proposing to put that dock is directly in front of where their land connects to the 1450.
What they believe is
yes.
Their,
so,
what they believe is their right to use in front of that.
Well, don't most people around the lake, again, to get a determination of water frontage, take the stake and the 1450 and then continue it to the water frontage?
Yeah, but the problem is we're not a rectangle body of water.
It's not a rectangle. Like, your property lines are also...
They don't all go square.
Yeah.
They don't all go square. It's not a rectangle. It's all these curves that change that.
Right, but I'm thinking if my survey matches up with my neighbor's survey, then we would use the same connecting line. And so on around the lake.
See, once you get to the 1450, okay. I mean, there are some lots that are nice rectangles around the lake. You can extend those lines straight down to the water. All right. There's many cases since I've been here where that's not true. Okay. You happen to have a reverse pie, so you start narrow, then you wide. Okay.
Right.
Nyer is the opposite. They start wide, then they narrow. So, like I said, it's something where It's in litigation that's somewhere Joe can discuss a little bit more. That's all I can say. But once we get to the 1450, below that, that's the lake That's the RLD's decision.
I do have a question. Are they one of the parties?
I mean, I guess they should be. If I didn't realize.
Yeah, I'd like to be. Yeah. I mean, if we're involved in it up to this point,
yeah, I didn't be involved in future. I mean, if there's a, you know, but if the parties resolve it amongst themselves above the top so that the lines can be drawn, then, I mean, if there's potentially three properties that are affected, and because, I mean, again, the policies read that you, if the bounds of the front lot property are generally parallel, you extend them to the water's edge in that fashion, but I mean, the board still has the authority to say it's, you know, exclusive use to a dedicated site. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you if you have 200 front of footage border to border, that the dedicated use is going to be that full 200 front, because like Dick said, the lake's not a rectangle, and sometimes we have competing front lots, and that's the issue here. Is if you have a quote-unquote front lot that's a piece of pie where it narrows towards the water's edge, it'll never have boundaries that are generally parallel and can never be taken to the water's edge. So without some kind of compromising with adjoining landowners, that person's pretty much foreclosed from any frontage by virtue of the policies. So that, I guess, that's something.
And you would know this, you know, going in as you buy property, I would think, right?
Yeah. And well,
because when we went in buying the property that we purchased a year ago, it was advertised, you know, X amount of water usage, so much at the road. And, you know, my concern is that it's changing from what I was sold and what the survey said.
Have you have your copy of your survey
on file,
right?
Yep, absolutely.
I'll see if I can get a copy of that before we come in next month.
And we agree with everything that's on there that's, you know, presented to you guys. You know, now there's a dispute.
So you're familiar with it. So does this relate back then to this other issue where they get to go to front? Oh, you're saying,
yeah.
You said that because you said where they want to place their dock. Is in
well, I said, they currently
okay.
have a dock.
Okay.
This is a second dock. Yes.
Okay.
So you asked a question. I don't know if you've got an answer yet. You have a sense then of what the steps are going to have to be here?
Yeah, it seems like there's going to be an executive session is how I'm taking this. So we're going to be invited into the executive session with, I'm guessing, Mr. and Mrs. Neer and Doris and
Doris,
Janet.
Right. Doris or Doris?
Next
or
was
yeah.
Doris?
Yeah. I'm not sure about the invited into the executive session part.
Well, I think it needs
well, they're actually to our left, and
I
two girls are to our right.
If the board makes a decision unilaterally without taking all the parties into consideration, any one of those parties might have a cause of action against the board.
Will they physically be in executive session?
For that one little issue.
But I think that's okay. Because our stance has always been that we don't get involved in above the 1450 disputes. But if they ask us to be part of it so that we're in agreement with what they think they want to do, I think that's productive.
So is that a planned executive session another
April.
Time? Not today.
Yeah,
May.
No,
okay. All right, can we make a note of that? All right, Dan, does that work?
Yeah,
for
that's
you?
Fine. That's great.
And the other Dan behind you.
I guess the best way to explain that is when you're in a concave scenario of footages at the water's edge, it doesn't match up to the footages at the 1450. You come back on a concave or a lot lines that go toward one another, the 1450 is always going to be bigger than the water's edge.
Correct.
Because of your convex shape there.
Right.
And that's all the way around the lake.
Yeah.
So
again,
so
I use the lot line that Doris and Karen used and so on and so on and so on all the way around the lake.
The only
thing that ever has an issue.
The other thing that people should look at is they're assessed for lakefront foot. Maybe you, all of you, should look at how many lakefront feet that you're being assessed for and taxed for.
Right.
Because that isn't true when you get down to the water. I know there. This is something that I've always thought that wasn't fair because being assessed for more than you actually have, and they, when you have three parties involved, they need to come to a reasonable conclusion of what's fair between parties, because it does deflect. At the, from the 1450 down to that water's edge because of this scenario. I can see where you can find a happy medium between parties based on assessable actual footage, both at the 1450 and the water's edge.
All right. Anything else before we move to executive session that we dismiss this?
I may have been sleeping, but I think we skipped the consent agenda.
No, we passed it. Passed 3-0.
You're good.
We didn't go down through each one of those, Bob. We just took them as a group.
Oh, okay, just approved them all?
That's what the consent agenda hopefully
is. I was sleeping, excuse me.
Didn't see it fall off your chair, but I close.
Can't blame you.
And it was approved for your...
Yeah, you're good.
All right. Well, let me declare then that this part of the meeting is closed. We're going to move downstairs into the executive session. You're going to hold David and say thank you to those of you who have come today.
To discuss legal actions.
Right. And that's the assumption, yeah.
No. All right. We can only go there for 3 minutes.
All right. Thank you.